Morning Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
Deacons, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are so, so blessed, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. I think we're recognizing that each and every day. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your pierced lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be here. Thanks be to God for everything. Thanks be to Radio Maria for this opportunity to bring the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, the best that God has to give to us, the gift of living in the divine will. It's such a beauty. Before going into my opening passage, I wanted to introduce, again, Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. Hello, Mother, sisters.
Hello, Peter, and everybody out there. How are you?
It's such a joy to come together. And I mean, I have the privilege of being able to see you as we're speaking, you know, on radio. We don't have that opportunity. That's why many people tell me that I look better on radio. And I can't disagree with them.
But, I think we all look better on radio.
Yeah. But, you know, Mother, I was, again, I never know. Well, we never know what we're going to speak about. Like, that's any big surprise. You can't tell that. But I came across a passage this morning. Actually, my wife provided this to me. And I kind of remember reading it, but maybe not. I don't know. It's volume 16, October 16, 1924. And the caption is, so that the divine will may descend upon earth, the human will, emptied of all that is human, divinized and transformed into all that is God, must raise up to heaven and live a communal life with the most holy Trinity. It must take and give all. And cool. That's a caption of it. That's that reciprocal of love that we talked about. You know, Sister Francesca mentioned that. Mother, you've mentioned it often. And again, it just goes on. So a little bit of a snippet here, if I may. Our Lord speaking, my daughter, in order for my will to descend upon earth, it is necessary that your will raise up to heaven. And in order to raise up to heaven and to live in the celestial fatherland, it is necessary to empty it of all which is human, of all that is not holy, not pure, and not upright. Nothing can enter into heaven to live a communal life with us if it has not been completely divinized and transformed into us. Nor can my divine will descend upon earth and carry out its life as within its own center. End quote. So again, we have to become those new wineskins. We have to get rid of everything that we've accumulated. You know, it's like moving to a new house. You know, what am I keeping this stuff for? You know, some of us, I mean, I don't know any better, but now we've been introduced to this gift of gifts, this reason, this excuse to live, to leave this madness around us and go back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we're created by God. What an opportunity our Lord has given us. And you know, Mother, I don't know if we appreciate it as well as we ought to. I know I don't.
We don't appreciate anything as well as we ought to. You know, I was just talking to the sisters this week about how we get so desensitized even to the presence of God. You know, we have 2 hours of adoration a day, and you know, it's he's there in his majesty and his magnificence. And if we could see him, of course, we'd never leave the church. You know, we'd never leave the chapel. We'd want to be there with him. So, you know, he hides himself from us, just like he hides himself in us as we do acts and rounds in divine will. It's our body is a veil of what's really happening, but it's a divinity within us working. I was just reading here in volume 35. It was October 12, 1937. It says, let's live together, he says to Louisa, so that what I do, you will do as well. I feel that my love gives me the need to live heart to heart, or better still, one single heart with you. Please don't deny me your company. I know that you lack many things to be able to live together with me, but don't worry, I take care of everything. I will clothe you with my royal garments of light. I will arm you with my power. I will show off all my love for you, making the life and the love of my will flow into your most intimate fibers. If you only want it, all is done. All you have to do is want it. I was just reading yesterday. Louisa was asking, how can I realize my nothingness? And he said, Jesus says, just say all day long, throughout the day, I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing, you are everything, I am nothing, I am nothing. He said, if you continue to say it and you long to realize your nothingness, you will realize your nothingness. He says, and just ask himself, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa to help you to realize that nothingness. So, you know, the more acts and rounds we do in the divine will, the more we realize our nothingness. Goes on to say, my little daughter of my volition, why do you fear? There are no fears in my will, but only the highest love, courage, and firmness. Once it has decided, it never moves, even more so, since the soul who lives in it does not pray, rather she commands, and she herself can take, as the owner, whatever she wants. We place everything at her disposal, this because all is sacred and holy in her. More so, since my living in the divine will, she will never want, take, or command anything but what we ourselves want. So her commands delight us, make us joyful. And we say, take, tell us, what else do you want? The more you take, the more you make us happy. So, you know, our Lord could not say no to Our Lady in anything. Why? Because she was conceived without original sin. Our Lord could not say no to Louisa. That's why he stayed away from her when he wanted to chastise the people, because if he was with her and she didn't want chastisement to take place, he had to listen to her. So the more you live in the divine will, the more whatever you pray for, it will happen. You praying for your family and you don't see things happening, live more in divine will, do more acts and round in divine will, and you're going to see that everything you ask for your family is going to happen just as you ask, if it's according to God's will. It goes on to say, further, when the creature wants our will, all her acts are like many messengers between heaven and earth. They go up and down continuously, being messengers now of peace, now of love, now of glory. Sometimes they even command our divine justice to stop, taking its just fury upon themselves. How much good these messengers do. As soon as we see them coming before our throne, we recognize ourselves in these acts, which, disguised by the human veils of the acts of the creatures, hide our own will. But it's always our will. So pleased we say, what an art of love it is. It hides itself, it hides inside the acts of the creatures, so as not to be recognized. But we know it anyway. And since it is ourselves loving, we let it do whatever it wills. So we call these acts our acts, and we recognize them as such, although the creature concurred, giving her access close to cover them. She is a support on which my divine will can lean, delighting in developing its life, in making unheard of prodigies, in hiding itself within the creature, as if it would cover itself with her remains, even more so since the creation and the creatures have their origin in its fiat, living, growing, and being preserved in it. The fiat is the actor and the audience of all their acts. They will live their lives in my fiat and will fly to heaven with one act wanted by it. Everything belongs to it. All the rights are its own. Nobody can escape my fiat. The only difference is that one who lives in it lives together with it, knows it, and is aware of everything it does, delights it with her company, and forms its joy and the confirmation of what my will wants to do in her. On the other hand, one who does not live in my will, does not know it, she remains isolated and forms this continuous pain. So everyone is, in a sense, living in God's will. You would not be able to stay alive without God's will. God keeps you alive. You keep breathing because he wills it. He gives you the air to breathe. He keeps your heart beating. So, you know, if he stopped thinking about you, you would not exist anymore. So everyone is living in his will, but those only who acknowledge his will truly live in his will and allow him to do everything in and through him. And he delights in them. And they allow Jesus to relive his life in them. He loves us so much. He just wants to relive his life in us. But he's a gentleman. He won't come unless you invite him and acknowledge his presence there. So I'll turn this over. I've got more on this whole topic. It's beautiful, all about, you know, the divine will is such a wonderful thing. It's such a great thing. You know, you can't stop talking about it. There's 36 volumes, and they're all unbelievable teachings, unbelievable knowledge. It's just so beautiful. You know, I'm so grateful to God for this beautiful gift. We should thank him every day for it. Anybody want to say anything?
It's almost like we wish we had 2 hours. But, you know, Mother, it's true because, you know, everything, you know, if we're alive, we are reaping the benefits of God's most holy divine will. Because, you know, we say in a cavalier way that Adam lost everything, and he did lose almost everything. But what he didn't lose is God kept the divine will beating his heart, breathing his lungs, and flowing his blood. Otherwise, Adam and Eve would have ceased to exist. And if they had ceased to exist, there would have been no opportunity for redemption and now sanctification. So God left that sort of umbilical cord, as it may be, attached so that we may have life. And now we're recognizing it. And yeah, we're all there. But now God's just looking for, I thank you, and you're my father. He's looking for his paternity back. It's really very simple what he's looking for. And it's not very complicated, but we sort of make it very complicated. But someone who doesn't make it complicated, this is Sister Francesca.
Well, before
if only that were true.
I just took it away from
you. I wish all that were true. Right?
I was just wanted to say that, the world is so disordered. So God needs our love.
Yeah,
He needs all the people who are faithful Christians, those living for him, those living in divine will, to really love him. Because with all that all the things going on in schools right now, teaching the kids that they can choose if they want to be male or female, and transvestites, abortions, all of this stuff that's going on, it's so rampant in the world. God is so wounded by losing so many souls. There's so many people going to hell right now, you know. And unless we love him and pray, you know, the more we do acts and rounds in the Bible, the more souls will be saved. The more we love him, the more we pray from the heart, like Our Lady says, the more we live her messages, the more souls will be saved. So I just really encourage people to just really pray for all these souls that are being lost right now throughout the world through confusion and things. The poor kids, what they're growing up today and what they have to have to learn in the schools, it's just ridiculous. You know, it's so disordered.
Yeah, I mean, the direct attack is against God, but unfortunately, human souls are brought into the war, into the battle, and we have to be strong. But again, God gives us the antidote. God gives us the answer, the prayer, and the rationale to overcome all of this. Sister?
Yeah, I just want to get back to what Mother was saying before, how everybody, in a sense, is living in the divine will because, you know, we'd cease to exist if God's will didn't keep us alive. And I was actually, when I was praying earlier, I was meditating on that, and I was just kind of like chewing on like the difference, like what's the difference between our baptismal identity, you know, when the Holy Trinity came to dwell in us and living in the divine will. And what I felt like the Lord was telling me is it's really the same thing. You know, God is dwelling in us, we're dwelling in God, but how often do we not live our baptismal identity? We leave kind of the Holy Trinity trapped to be our little slaves that, you know, follow us around and do whatever we want to do. But living in the divine will, God is so good, he's so gracious, and he's so loving, and he respects our freedom so much that he waits for our cooperation. And really, from what I understood, is the living in the divine will is our total and complete cooperation with the work that he's trying to do with us, with the identity that we have as his sons and daughters. It's that consummation you were talking about, Peter, before that passage where it's we have to get rid of the human Mother was talking about our nothingness. I used to struggle a lot with those passages in the beginning. And I used to feel guilty struggling with them, because I would look at the Lord and like, you know, who wants the person looking at them to want, like, you're nothing, you know, get rid of the human. I didn't really understand it. But as I prayed with these things, I came to understand that the human, I mean, our humanity is beautiful. You know, Christ came and took our humanity. He glorified it. He divinized it. He sanctified all of our acts. So our humanity is not bad. But with that human that Jesus is talking about that we have to get rid of is that fallen human nature, that I'll put quote unquote fake human nature that we try to create for ourselves because we're trying to do things on our own. We're trying to be someone without God, which was the original sin. It was Adam and Eve trying to make a name for themselves, do whatever they wanted without God. God wanted to make them like him. But they wanted the serpent deceive them into wanting to be like God, but without God.
And sister, I think that's the key right there. I mean, it could be summarized as if, for example, without God, we are nothing. But with God, we're everything. Where is adoration? God's adoration is us when we're with him. When we're not, it's just like that emancipated child who leaves the house. The father's sad, the mother's sad, wants that child back. That's all he wants. It's very simple if we really think about it.
Yeah, no, it's true. And he wants that child back and free, because a lot of these things, these fig leaves that we put over us, they're slaveries. They don't make us happy. So
that's right.
It's like that human he's got to strip us of, and we have to enter into that nothingness of what we thought we were. And the beautiful thing, the beautiful paradox is that, like what you were saying, Peter, we find the beautiful dignity of who we really are, who we were created to be, the sons and daughters of God. And it's just so beautiful. I wanted to read a passage that I was reading yesterday, actually, from volume 33, November 18th, 1934, where God was saying that out of love for man, he didn't give creation reason. He didn't want creation to give him the glory and love himself, because he wanted man to have that privilege. And I just thought it was beautiful. So I'm going to read from that. The cry of our love called out more strongly than our glory and almost kept us from giving reason to creation. And as it cried out strongly, it said to us, it is for the love of man that we created everything. And that is why we must endow him with reason, so that he enters into the sky to repay us for our ceaseless love and everlasting glory. Because we stretched out the heavens above his head, and in every star we hear the soul's loving cry that he loves us with unchanging love. She enters into the sun and transforms herself into it as if it were hers. She responds to us by loving the light and sweetness of the sun. And she gives us love for love in gratitude for the blessings that the sun showers upon her. That is why we want the soul in all created things, in justice, because she gives us the response that all of creation would have given us if it had reason. This is why we gave her the gift of reason, and why we want our will to reign over her and have its royal dwelling place in creation, so that as she unites herself with all created things, she would understand all our notes of love toward her, and she would return them to us with her notes of unceasing love and everlasting glory. We never stop loving her with words and deeds, and she's obliged to love us always and not to lag behind, but to come to meet us and to place her love upon our own loving notes. More than this, our love never says enough, and it always wants to give to the soul, nor does it remain content if it does not find new inventions of love to be able to tell her, I have always loved you, and with the life-giving love. That is why our fiat placed a distinctive love within each created thing and filled it with a distinct love. How beautiful if we're able to live our days like this in a constant, perpetual, you know, reciprocal of love. These are the rounds, you know, receiving God's love and then returning it back to him, because everything that's around us is his love. So I just kind of invite everybody throughout, you know, just throughout your simple day, whatever you're doing, this is where God enters. He enters into the life that you're living here on earth. Just kind of keep your eyes open to look out for those little love notes that are around you everywhere from God. And he just wants that return of love back from you.
Beautifully said. You know, sister, your passage actually goes very well with, you know, I started off with volume 16, October 16th, 1923. I only read the beginning of it. I'd like to just add a little bit more now before we go on to the next sister. It was Jesus saying to Luis, don't you want my will to have the first place on earth? And then Louisa says, quote, I seem to find myself in heaven, and as though from one single point I could see all generations. And prostrating myself before the Supreme Majesty, I took the reciprocal love of the divine persons, their perfect adoration, their ever unique sanctity of their will, and I offered them in the name of all as the return of love, adoration, submission, and union, which every creature should give to her creator. I wanted to unite heaven and earth, creator and creature, that they might embrace and exchange the supreme kiss of the union of their wills. I think that says it exactly. But here's the caveat. Not caveat, here's the conclusion. Then my Jesus added, this is your task, the action arounds. Mother, thank you. To live in our midst and to make all that is ours your own. End quote. It's beautiful.
Yeah, hello. So I don't know about you, but anytime I talked about divine will or we're sharing between us, I guess goosebumps, you know, like I get so excited and like it's really, really, I don't know, I can't explain the excitement that I get within myself. And I just want to add about what Sister Francesco is saying of how God is so loving that he always wants us to cooperate with him. And I was actually reading today from volume 12, how God created us in his eternal volition. Like we have been always being with him in his mind. And he also chose Louisa as the creature to, from through her, bring this beautiful gift of the divine will. And he's always asking us first, like, hey, my child, do you want to do this? And if we don't want to, I mean, he gives us our freedom. But if we do, he will give us all the graces to be able to accomplish what he wants us to do. And on this passage, it's from February 10, 1919. It says, continuing in my usual state, my always lovable Jesus came, and taking my hands in his, he clasped them, and with a majestic affability, he said to me, my daughter, tell me, do you want to live in my will? Do you want to accept the office of second link with my humanity? Do you want to accept all my love as your own, my will as life, my very pains that the divinity inflicted on my humanity, which were so many that my love feels an irresistible need not only to make them known, but to share them as much as it is possible for creature. And I can share them and make them known only with one who lives in my will. And then I read further down when Louisa says, also my sweet Jesus, so she said yes in him, and Jesus says, my lovable Jesus seemed so happy with my yes that he said to me, now I want to adorn you and clothe you like me, so that together with me you may come before the majesty of the Eternal One to repeat my same office. And when I was reading this passage, I was just like so excited, because even like it's an inexpressible emotion that is so loving, like God is so loving that he wants us to be with him since eternity, that he is so good that he wants from us to be part of that creation, of that love, of everything, that like he doesn't want to exclude us from his will, from his plan, from his creation. And I also read in other passages that Louisa was chosen to be the first creatures to receive these gifts, and then from her we become also the links, like the chain, like links together, that now through us, after Louisa and Our Lady, of course, in Jesus, we become these creatures in divine will, living his own life and going back and forth to heaven, from earth to heaven, bringing these divine graces for the good of all creatures, for their salvation, for our perfection, and not to seek our own sanctity, you know, only the good of other people, only for the kingdom to come and reign in each one of us. So I really encourage you, just receive this gift that Jesus only wants to pour out himself to us, and to have us within him and have him within us.
Amen. The key there was the indescribable happiness. You know, and you know, we've talked about this before. Take your most happiest moment in your life, whatever it was, and magnify that by a trillion times, and then have that on a perpetual basis. That's what God is offering us. That's what we can get. Not this misery around us. God has shown us the light. Speaking of the light also, Radio Maria is a light teaching every one of us. It's, again, a Christian voice in our home. They're 100% listener supported. So we need your help, please. In fact, the Mariathon that just concluded is enabling Radio Maria at this very moment to have new equipment installed. So how beautiful is that? Which means we're going to probably sound better. Thanks be to God for that. So again, whatever you can do, please, you can call 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. And we are offering for anyone who makes a donation in any amount, God knows what you can do and can't do. We're going to offer a Louisa Picadetta prayer relic card, which has a piece of Louisa's clothing, as well as the contact information on the back of that card, whom to contact when you experience your miracle. So please be generous if you can. God knows if you can. 888-408-0201. You're listening to Radio Maria, Christian voice in our home. And, you know, God has told us with this divine will, and we're going to listen to this, what he has to say about this through the saints at the second part of this program. But we finally arrived. This is not 1,000 years from now. It's here. We finally arrived. He's taking us back to the other side. Finally.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. Just to finish up, finally, that volume 16, October 16th, 1923. This is the cream. This is the icing. Then my Jesus added, quote, "This is your task, to live in our midst and to make all that is yours, all that is ours, your own, giving to us on behalf of your brothers, so that, drawn by what is ours, we may be bound to the human generations and give them the supreme kiss of the union of their wills to ours, which we gave to man in creation." End quote. So again, we're going back. You know, it's interesting. A lot of questions come in that, you know, well, how can this happen? Are we going to do the same thing we've been doing for 2,000 years? All that has led up to this culmination, and God's given us this opportunity. And you know, it's really interesting, too, because we're going to speak about him in a moment. St. Cyril of Jerusalem gives us a great quote. When things start to get very difficult, which they perhaps will become quickly, St. Cyril says, quote, "Flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church." And it's so interesting because it reminds me of volume 29, May 10th, 1931. Jesus tells us, quote, "And how many times people who did not know each other become friends by means of a gift," end quote. By means of this gift of living in the divine will, we are going to find those fellow sheep. And we're going to have to leave those wolves. And those wolves may be very close to us. But again, we have to flee. We have to. Mother, sisters? Oh, I think you're muted. Sorry, Mother. That was me. My fault. I get trigger happy sometimes.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. Thanks.
Volume 35, to continue, it says, "My blessed daughter, how beautiful it is to live in my will. The creature who does so keeps us always in peace. She knows nothing other than my will, and everything becomes will of God for her. The suffering is divine will. The joy is divine will. Her heartbeat, breathing, and motion all become divine will. Her steps and works feel the steps of my will as well as the sanctity of the works of my fiat. The food she takes, her sleep, the most natural things become will of God for her. And all that she sees, feels, and touches, she sees, feels, and touches the palpitating life of my will. My will keeps her so busy and invested with itself that jealous, it doesn't allow anything, not even the air, not to be divine will." So everything you do, even the air you breathe, it's all divine will. It's God breathing in your breathing. And it's you breathing out, "I love you," to him. So everything you do, the simplest acts become great acts because it's divine will. They're divine acts, something that Jesus is doing within you with this eternal, which is eternal. It has no beginning, no end. It goes on to say, "Just as for the creature, everything is our will, so it is for us. We feel her within the whole of our divine being, in the heartbeat and in the motion. And we can do nothing, nor do we want to do anything, without the creature who lives in our will. Our love is such that we make her flow in all of our works. So we actually create with God. Everything happens, everything that God creates throughout the day, trees growing, everything. You're doing that with him because it's all in divine will. Together with us, she maintains and participates in our creative and preserving act. She is with us, doing what we do, wanting what we want, and we cannot put her aside, since the will that we possess is one the love, one the act we do. This is living in our will, to live always together, to be one single thing. And this was the need of our love, to have the company of the creature, to delight together, keeping her on our lap, in order to be happy together. Then, since the creature is small, we want to give her our will in order to have the opportunity to give her our life, our act, and our modes in each of her acts. Ours by nature, hers by grace. This is our joy and our greatest glory. Do you think it is trivial to give our being so that a creature too small to be able to contain it can give it back to us together with herself, and we in turn can give ourselves again? It is a continuous reciprocal giving that makes so much love and glory arise that we feel as if We are repaid by her for having given her life. So it's a continual act of love. God showing his love to us in everything around us. God is before us. God is above us. God is behind us. You know, there's that beautiful prayer, Irish prayer, the breastplate of St. Patrick. He's everywhere. He's within you. And it's his love. He's just radiating his love to us in everything around us. And he just wants us to return that love to him. It's all a round of love, God loving us and us returning that love back. It says, furthermore, for every act the creature does in our divine volition, we redouble our love for her. As this love invests her, it brings with it our sanctity, goodness, and wisdom. So she remains redoubled in sanctity, in goodness, and in the knowledge of her Creator. As we love her with doubled love, she loves us with double love. Our love is an operative love. And as it originates from our Supreme Being to love the creature with redoubled love, it gives her the grace to make us love with an ever-growing love. It is impossible for us not to add something more to an act made so great by our will. We can say that these acts are the kidnappers of our love. They kidnap our sanctity, forming their ways to get to know who we are and how much we love her. So what a great thing, how God redoubles his love for us as we do every act and round in divine will. What a great gift this is, you know, too good to let go by the wayside. So I invite everybody out there, listen, please embrace this beautiful gift that God wants to give you more than you would want it. You know, he loves you so much. If you knew how much he loves you, you'd die of joy. You couldn't take it, you know. But this is the greatest display of his love, to give us this beautiful gift.
That's true. You know, and Mother, it's so important, too, because he tells us in that same volume, 29, May 10th, 1931, that when he gives us everything he's giving us, but if we, the creature, do not move to give something to our Creator, even a little bit of love, a little bit of gratitude, a little bit of sacrifice, we break the correspondence. And if we break that correspondence, there's no connectivity. We've left the divine will of our Lord. So we need to keep that connection. It's just like an electrical current. If you don't have the wires connected, there is no power. You know, the wires were separated when Adam sinned. God's bringing us back together. And we're the tape, right, Sister Magdalena?
Yes, we do. Yes, we are. And actually, another image of also for that, living in a divine will and living outside of divine will, it's kind of like divine will is our home. It is the home of our family, of our Lord. We are part in this household. And to move away from the divine will is leaving home and taking with us all the things, our clothing and all that. But this is only to sustain us for a certain amount of time, but it's not for our whole life. Okay. So it's very important for us to live in the divine will, because it's the only way that we can return back to God. With first sin, what Adam and Eve did was turning away from God. So they are with God in union in this house, but turning away, so that when they look away from God, they become God themselves, because now they have nothing to look at but themselves. And that's where the shame and pain comes from. So what divine will is doing, living in the divine will, is turning around, going back to this family of God. And so many have been discussed today, and it's all beautiful, you know, doing acts and rounds in the divine will to return. And you mentioned about being nothing, being invisible. So I would like to share with you a passage from volume 3, May 21, 1900. And it talks about Jesus wanting us to be invisible and also to spiritualize everything. And Jesus tells us that the reason why he came down, he's a spirit, he's God, but he came down, took on our flesh so that he can become our example. So briefly, I will share with you, because there's still three other sisters to share. We have limited time. So I'll go straight to the middle part of this passage. My daughter, in order to arrive at making her will perfectly one with ours, the soul must render herself invisible. Invisible. She must imitate me, who, while I fill the world by keeping it absorbed within myself and by not being absorbed in it, render myself invisible. For I do not let myself be seen by anyone. This means that there is no matter in me, but in everything is most pure spirit. And if in my assumed humanity I took on matter, it was to render myself similar to man in everything and to give him a most perfect example of how to spiritualize this very matter. So the soul must spiritualize everything and arrive at becoming invisible in order to be able to easily make her will one with my will, because that which is invisible can be absorbed by another object. If one wants to make one object out of two objects, it is necessary that one of these lose its shape. Otherwise, one could never arrive at forming one single being. So we are called to be invisible, fused with the divine will, so that we no longer appear. We are still there. Our human will is still there, but it's now lost in divine will. What fortune yours would be if by destroying yourself to the point of becoming invisible, you could receive a shape fully divine. Even more, by being absorbed in me and I in you, forming one single being, you would come to retain the divine source within yourself. And since my will contains every good that can ever be, you would come to retain all goods, all gifts, all graces, and would not have to look for them anywhere else but within yourself. And if virtues have no boundaries, when the creature is in my will, insofar as she can reach, she will find their limit, because my will makes one acquire the most heroic and sublime virtues which the creature cannot surpass. The height of the perfection of a soul undone in my will is such that she reaches the point of operating like God. And this is no wonder, because since there is no longer her will that lives in her, but the will of God himself, every amazement ceases. If by living with his will, she possesses the power, the wisdom, the sanctity, and all the other virtues that God himself contains. I stop here because we have limited time. But what I'm trying to say here is that being invisible is to do acts and rounds in the divine will and forgetting ourselves so that we no longer operate. And this is God operating in us, so that now we always talk about not necessarily doing big acts where everybody can see. These are also important things that people can do that. I mean, there's so many great talents, but this is applicable for everybody, educated, uneducated, little or big, whatever status in society, everybody can do that. Because if we sleep, if we rest, even natural acts that we do every day, if we spiritualize that and calling divine will, that is divine. And that is so powerful. More than anything else, you can be a scholar, you can be a great knowledge, doctor of the church, whatsoever. But if you do that outside of divine will, it really is nothing compared to what doing acts and rounds, living our life in the divine will. So encourage you, and that requires faith. Faith is very important. Jesus says, if you have a faith of a mustard seed, you can move, you can tell a mountain to move. So the same thing, if we really call God to act in us, with faith, it can happen.
Amen. You know, it's interesting too. I had a thought when Adam was kicked out of Eden, and Eve was, basically God gave them rations for 6,000 years. And those rations are running almost empty. So it's either perish or go back to Eden, which God wants to bring us. Mothers, sisters. Hello, hi, Sister Gloria.
Hi, how are you?
Who's your friend there on your lap?
Oh, this is Cat. It's a cat cushion.
Okay. So we'll just call it Cat.
Today, I'd like to read a passage from Volume 1. It's about how to totally focus on him and to work with him and for him. It's a short passage. Closing your eyes to all these, you will open them to look at me alone. You will take me with you, thinking that my gaze is fixed on you. And you will say to me, Lord, for you alone I do this. For you alone I want to work, no longer a slave of the creatures. So if you walk, if you work, if you speak, in anything you do, your only aim must be that of pleasing me alone. Oh, how many defects you will avoid if you do this. So it's a short passage, but it really taught me what's really the important thing is to live in the divine will, that we have to do it for him and with him. And during the mass at the conclusion of the Eucharistic prayer, the priest, when he takes the chalice and the paten of the host, and he raises both, and he says, through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. You know, through him, with him, and in him, it really contains all the important teaching that we have to practice in our lives. And it is to give all praise and honor to God. And there is no other important purpose in heaven and on earth than giving him glory and praise. Because God created everything for his glory. He created angels, creatures, and the whole universe for the glory of God. Even the eternal word came to the world, took our humanity to give glory to God Father, and also the Holy Spirit descended upon us for the glory of God. And Jesus loved us so much that he doesn't just wait for us to do something for him, but he wants to do everything with us because he's the lover of our souls. And so he wants us to invite him in all we do, in all our actions, not just some spiritual things, but also natural things, such as eating, sleeping, and all the things that we do naturally as humans. And his another name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He became man because he wants to be with us and because he wants to do anything, everything with us, to share the happiness, sorrow, and suffering in our human life in order to love us through and through. He took on himself our lives, our sins, our brokenness, our shame, our weaknesses, and our miseries as his own. Because he said he will sanctify everything as if God did it and give immense value to it. So he said to invite him to everything we do and do it with him. And there is one thing that we have to remember. I'm speaking of my own self, out of my own mistakes and of my learning. We cannot invite him when we sin and when we do things that are not his will. We can say, come Jesus, steal in my stealing, or come Jesus, lie in my lying. When we are indulging in unhealthy attachments or seeking pleasures too much or do things not in moderation, we cannot invite him to come and do in us. He can come. He doesn't want to come to us. And when we try to do something that is against God's will, Jesus will say, if you're going to do these that are not my will, I can do it with you. You are on your own. Because he came to the world and was so obedient to the will of God and lived his whole life only to do God's will. So we need here the help of the Holy Spirit to discern. And Mother Teresa said that if you're not doing your primary duties at your home, if you're not taking care of your own home, I don't want you to come to our convent and help the poor. That's not God's will. First, fulfill your duties, obligations, and responsibilities of your state of life. And so even if it would be the holy thing or good things, such as praying all day long or staying long hours before the Blessed Sacrament or going to holy places, if it's not according to God's will, we are not carrying out his will. And so we got to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and teach us what's the will of God and have an upright and pure motive in all we do. And of course, we can't be scrupulous about everything we do, but it will help us grow more in the living the divine will. When we stop a moment just before we do anything, just ask question, if it were Jesus, would he want to do this or not? Yes, thank you.
Thank you, sister. Very sound advice. Hello, sister.
Hello. So during this time of Lent, it's really important to have like a spirit of sacrifice and mortification. And Jesus tells Luisa in the volumes how pleasing voluntary suffering is to him. Just like voluntarily suffering something out of love for Jesus. And the suffering, whatever it may be, it becomes even more precious in the eyes of God when you do it hidden from the eyes of others. So only God can see it. So I'd like to read a passage from Volume 14, August 12, 1922. And it's about the value and effects of sacrifice. So basically in this passage, Jesus tells Luisa about how his will is gold and how the thread of our human will must become pure gold in order to fuse and become one with his. So just reading a little part of this passage. But if my will is gold and yours is iron, you will remain behind and mine will not lower itself to be braided with yours. If you take two objects of gold, though each one may have its own different shape, and by melting them you will be able to form one single object, I will no longer be able to distinguish the gold of one from that of the other. So our human will must become like gold to fuse with Jesus, which is already gold, so the two can become one. So in another part of this passage, Jesus tells her, sacrifice is burning fire that melts and consumes. Sacrifice is sacred and has the virtue of consecrating the divine will in the human. sacrifices grace, and with its skillful brush, it imprints the divine shape and features. Here is the reason for the increasing of your sufferings. These are the final brushstrokes which are needed in order to produce the final extension and braiding of your will and mind. So as Sister was saying earlier, it's really important to pray to the Holy Spirit and ask, what does Jesus want to do in me now? And with these sacrifices, it's really important to have a pure motive and to do it out of love for Jesus. Like, for example, you may want to, like, read something holy, but if you have some other duties to attend to and you feel like Jesus is calling you instead to do those holy duties, then you have to stop your reading and help. It's like with the soup kitchen example. Like, if you don't feed the people in the soup kitchen, then they'll go hungry. So likewise, it's also really important to live in the present moment to see what sacrifice does Jesus want. And the more we die to the desires of our human will, the more we purify our will. It's like what the Bible says, that gold's purified in fire. So the more we die to ourselves by doing acts and rounds, the more these impurities from the gold come up. Jesus scrapes it off through the sacraments, especially through confession. And the more our wills become gold, the more they can fuse with Jesus, so the two can become one.
Thank you, Sister. Yeah, Jesus says give up even holy things to embrace his gift, but our Blessed Mother says also, but always according to the circumstances. What a beautiful mother. Hello, Sister.
Hello, Peter. So I have here a passage from Volume 30, March 20, 1932. I'll just say shortly about three necessary conditions in order to obtain the kingdom of the divine will. So it really greatly summarizes here. Jesus is telling to Lisa, therefore, the first indispensable necessity in order to obtain the kingdom of the divine will is to ask for it with incessant prayers, because they pray, so are we reached by little letters, now of solicitation, now of supplication, now of the agreement that they want to make with our will, until the last letter comes of the final accord. Second necessity, more indispensable than the first, in order to obtain this kingdom, it is necessary to know that one can have it. Who can ever think of a good, desire it, love it, if he does not know that he can obtain it? No one. If the ancients had not known that the future Redeemer was to come, no one would have given it a thought, nor prayed, nor hoped for salvation, because the salvation, the sanctity of those times, was fixed, centralized in the future celestial Savior. Outside of this, there was no good to be hoped for. To know that one can have a good forms the substance, the life, the nourishment of that good in the creature. Here is the reason for the so many knowledges about my will that I have manifested to you, that it may be known that they can have the kingdom of my will. When it is known that a good can be possessed, arts and industriousness are used, and the means to obtain the intent are employed. The third necessary means is to know that God wants to give this kingdom. This lays the foundations, the sure hope in order to obtain it, and forms the final preparations in order to receive the kingdom of my divine will. When a good is wanted and longed for, to know that the one who can give it already wants to give it can be called the last blow of grace and final act to obtain what is wanted. In fact, had I not manifested to you that I can give and want to give my divine will as dominating and reigning in the midst of creatures, you would have remained indifferent like everyone else toward the good so great. So your interest, your prayers have been effects of and burst from what you have known. So it's really about the dispositions, like to be disposed to receive it, as it really beautifully says here. And I can really in this period of time compare it with a healing, like to be healed, like you need to be disposed for it. Like first acknowledge that you need healing, and then, you know, ask for it, because God wants it. It's kind of like a shows all of us, like the church, the gathering of those summoned, ecclesia, like we are to be prepared as a bride for a bridegroom, that is Jesus, and really, you know, to be prepared, this bride needs to kind of grow up and be purified, as it says here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's basically our response. You know, like we heard, you know, how many times people who do not know each other become friends because of a gift. But God wants our response. He says that again in that May 10th, 1931. If we don't give our response, no more gifts are going to be sent by us, says the Holy Trinity, because by not giving us anything, the soul has closed the correspondence. So we cannot cut off communication. We need to be connected. We need to stay connected, and that requires a response. Mother, we're basically out of time. 30 seconds. Can you close us with something?
We said a lot, and I don't think much more needs to be said right now except embrace this great gift of divine will. Read it, live it, do acts and round in divine will, and it'll be clear sailing for you. You'll be very happy.
Well, that spoke volumes, Mother. Thank you so much. Sisters, thanks be to God. Thanks be to you all for your vocation. And Avita saying ciao, goodbye. See everyone, God willing, next Thursday. Bye,
ciao,
everyone.
Ciao. Bye. Ciao, ciao.